The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Now when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. In the reading from the Gospel, Jesus returned from confronting the devil in the wilderness. You remember that story of Jesus being tempted. And he begins his mission of redemption, release, and restoration to righteousness. He speaks of good news, not saccharine sympathies empty of remedy, but good news of God's justice since times of old. Jesus turns to the Bible, ancient wisdom proven through the ages, to remind us of God's intentions for our world. Now, we don't read the Old Testament much anymore, which is our loss, because the story of Jesus is culmination of the Old Testament. Just hearing the Gospels without knowing the Old Testament is like watching the dramatic conclusion of a movie without watching everything leading up to it. This morning, I very briefly jump to the middle of the story and tell about one part of God's dramatic story. Now, you've heard of King David and King Solomon, the great kings of Israel. And following their rule came a series of disastrous kings, progressively worse until the kingdoms fall to foreign empires and people are made refugees and slaves. The story of Ezra and Nehemiah takes place after these kingdoms fall. Leaders of Israel were carted off to Babylon, which is in approximately today's modern-day Iraq, so that they could not cause any mischief in this conquered land. Laborers and farmers were left behind. The Babylonians kept them around to do the manual labor in the occupied land under Babylonian bosses. A few decades later, the Babylonian Empire itself fell to the Persian Empire. And under the Persians, the Hebrew exiles were allowed to return to their homeland. And in those decades that they were away, the laborers and farmers who remained in Israel had no leaders, no teachers to tell them of their heritage, no opportunities to remember their own history. And they intermarried with those of other religions, and soon their own beliefs were lost to foreign religions. The Hebrews lost their identity and forgot the ways of God. Now, Ezra was one of the exiled Hebrew leaders who returned to Israel after decades away. Nehemiah, the book's title, he himself brought the exiles back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and address some security issues. But Ezra, the person mentioned in our reading, focused on organizing the returning exiles and uniting the people. He came back to his own country to find that the people there had been oppressed so long that they had no hope. They were poor and dying. They knew very little of God and the righteous ways of God. So Ezra set a day for a public reading of the Bible so that everyone could hear and know God. Ezra turned to the Bible for tried and true insight into what makes for peace and well-being and security. It was a tremendous gift to those who knew nothing of God's mercy and God's ways. Now, church carries on that gift. Church exists as gift and testimony to those who do not know God. Church is the visible good news of God's presence and love. In the gospel reading, Jesus came home. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He came home to Nazareth after having been in exile himself in the wilderness, paralleling the story in Nehemiah of Israel's exile leaders returning home. And he comes to the synagogue and reads from the Holy Scriptures about God's plans to release the oppressed, to bring hope and promise to the poor, to proclaim God's kingdom now come for all. The story of Jesus continues God's work throughout the history of Israel. And the church, this church, are the chapters still being written of God's story of redemption and mercy, story of God's favor this day with you people. God's story continues. It says in the Gospel of Luke that after finishing temptation and sparring with the devil in the wilderness, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about what power is. Power is basically of two types, that of command and that of nurture. The power to command moves and accomplishes by force. And we elect leaders to make decisions and get things done. It is the type of power that dominates and controls and protects. And in this world, we need power that protects from dangers. We need power that pushes against resistance so that progress is made. And such power sometimes comes across as bossing around, but we put up with it in order to get things done. And such power, taken too far, becomes bullying and domination, abuse, racial profiling, tyranny, and injustice. You see that the power of command can only control and coerce. It cannot give life or joy. But there is another kind of power, the power that causes life to flourish. There is a kind of power that drives this world to live and thrive. This other kind of power acts as counter to that which dominates and controls. This other kind of power drives life and brings joy. And so Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, begins our reading from Luke. And this kind of power confronts this dominating power. And this kind of power releases from abuse. And this kind of power calls to account the overreach of control. And this kind of power heals and restores and rebuilds. As it is told in the Gospel of Luke, these verses are the beginning of Jesus' work in the world. Jesus announces that from now on there is a new power in the world. From now on there is a new kingdom, a new government, a new way of doing things. From now on the prevailing power will be that which releases and nurtures and welcomes and risks. Be sure there are risks. Taking down those walls that protect us does open us up to risk. But those very walls that protect, those policies and laws and traditions that keep us safe are also what keep us imprisoned. The walls we erect out of fear will stifle and desiccate and divide. Fear of differences, fear of uncertainty, fear of loss walls off God's Spirit. There is risk. Risk is the flip side of faith. Faith is taking risk that God, the risk that God is reliable, that God will bring us to a better place. Faith is risking it all on God to act. In my short time so far at this church, I am impressed with the risks that you people have taken. I have already experienced your hospitality and your welcome, and your decision to host loaves and fishes is a bold step to opening your space and opening yourselves to risk and welcome and bless. And this building is beautiful, and you've kept it well. It is pleasure simply seeing its beauty. And I know the challenges of keeping a building repaired and the challenges of its cost. And yet, though building and money are important, they are secondary to the ministries of care and nurture that happen here in this building. I assert that the measure of a church, the effectiveness of a church, is the extent that people are blessed, the extent that people experience grace, the extent that people know God who wants only peace and happiness for all, the extent people experience God's favor. That is the measure of church. The faith challenge is listening to what God is asking us now. And the faith challenge of our church is acting on what will nurture our neighborhoods as God sees it. Well, Jesus knew his purpose. Good news to the poor and powerless. Release to those captive by sin and sin's consequences. Recovery of sight to the blind, both those who are unable to see and those unwilling to see. Freedom to those oppressed by injustice, proclaiming the Lord's favor and delight even in this world of anger and aggression and immorality. And church takes up this purpose. As expression of Christ's Holy Spirit, we take up this cause of Jesus. Now, realistically, Christ the King Lutheran Church of Bloomington can't accomplish the redemption of the world and end all oppression and injustice. But we are not the entire Church of Christ. We are part of God's bigger purpose, and this church is not alone in the world. We confess that we are part of God's universal Catholic Church with partners within blocks and partners across continents. We are not on our own. We are a blessed congregation in God's bigger church. And so God has made us partners with the larger Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, 10,000 congregations across the U.S. and the Caribbean and Puerto Rico. Agencies and schools and relief organizations, partners who together express God's will in the world. And God acts beyond our church and beyond the ELCA, working God's mercy and life through other Christian denominations and other faith traditions, and through nonprofit agencies such as Lutheran Social Services and hospitals and service providers and relief organizations. And I dare say that God acts beyond our church, working God's mercy in life through businesses that serve communities, for-profit businesses that build up and restore society. God's Spirit is about in the world creating, nurturing, protecting, reclaiming, restoring. Jesus began his mission of redemption and release and restoration of righteousness by drawing on the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and by continuing God's purpose of redeeming and renewing this world. Jesus proclaimed, "This is the year of God's favor. This is the year we experience again God's blessing, God's presence, God's favor." And we as church and church people, we follow this lead. Amen. Please stand and let us sing the hymn of the day.